Now we will turn on the digital recorder, so we'll record both at the same time. The Beast and the False Prophet, that's what we will entitle it here. And I'm glad you're all here for Sabbath services, and for those of you who will see the video, I hope that it will be helpful to you. Some people have mentioned, I think I have a letter here, where a woman said it would be nice if we could see what you look like. We hear you, but we need to see what you look like. So, anyway, all right. Now, the other day, as I was getting ready to write the December letter, it occurred to me that we need something to really explain to people who we are and what we are doing, because we're going to get much more exposure, not only through the internet, but also through Church at Home. Once we get up to 20 Church at Home, and we've got 20 done already, thanks to Dave, he comes down and takes care of the camera and does the preliminary editing, and thanks for the listing that you give me every time, because that helps me know where I'm at, because once, what we do is this. Most things, like you see the news, that is pre-edited. In other words, they all have a script that they have to go by, and they all have so much time that they need to go by. And you can see this when they get down to running out of time. They say, well, I have 30 seconds. Hurry up and say all you have to say, you know, because I have what is called a hard break. Okay. And when you see them present something on television, if you watch carefully, their eyes, now they're trained very well to do it, but there is next to the camera, they have all the script that they read. They read it, teleprompter, just like Obama. I'd like to send a letter to him. Please, Obama, why don't you throw away your teleprompter and let us know who you really are? But that wouldn't do any good anyway. That would put me on the enemy's hit list, so I won't do that. And so we're making good progress in getting the Church at Home videos done, and I think that you will really be surprised when you see them, because they are very professionally done and make them very interesting, and the half-hour programs go by just like a snap of the fingers. So it occurred to me to define for people what we are actually doing, why Christian Biblical Church of God, and why Church at Home, and why the books that we have, why the Bible that we have. So here is what I came up with. So I'll read you part of the letter here. In concert with restoring the original Bible campaign to promote the Bible, coupled with the soon coming Church at Home website, we have upgraded our homepage of the regular church site, cbcg.org. In order to emphasize this basic message, we have added the theme, Restoring Original Christianity, for today. Now, that's very important, because when they do Google searches, those will be key words that they will pick up on. As you will see with this new theme, we are clearly stating in a few words exactly who we are, what we are doing, as well as succinctly defining the mission and goals of the Christian Biblical Church of God. So here is the new website page. Now listen carefully to this. I already did a sermon down in Arcadia, which will be coming out on a CD here pretty quick, where I showed the basic scriptures behind what is written here. Christian Biblical Church of God. Under that, Restoring Original Christianity for Today. Welcome to the homepage of the Christian Biblical Church of God website. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the true original gospel as revealed and taught by Jesus Christ and his personally chosen apostles and preserved in the God-breathed Bible, New Testament. We believe and practice the Word of God as inspired and preserved in the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments. Therefore, we are scripturalists. Very important. People are getting tired of the same old politics, which I bring out a little bit later here. We strictly follow the Bible and recapture the true biblical meaning of the Word of God by comparing Scripture with Scripture to prove all things. The Word of God is the truth of God from the God of truth, so that we may live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, as Jesus said. We do not accept, teach, or practice any traditions of men, regardless of their claims, whether from Judaism, Catholicism, Orthodox, or Protestantism. The founding battle cry of original Protestantism, sola scriptura, meaning the Scriptures and Scriptures only, has long been forgotten and ignored by the Protestants and rejected by the Catholics. As a result, all Orthodox Christendom has gone astray and are now merely practicing Christianized pagan traditions, teachings, and philosophies of men. So that succinctly tells exactly what we are doing, our approach, and what's happening in the world. Now continuing. In the time leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the Second Temple in 70 AD, the subversion of the true churches of God by false ministers with false teachings were gaining momentum. In his urgent epistle, the Apostle Jude, the brother of Jesus, sounded the alarm with this that this insidious apostasy was gaining power when he wrote, "Beloved, when personally exerting all my diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write you, exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith which was once delivered for all time to the saints. For certain men have stealthily crept in, those who long ago have been written about, condemning them to this judgment. They are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God and turning it into licentiousness, and are personally denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ." The mission of the Christian Biblical Church of God is to faithfully undertake restoring original Christianity for today, and a return to authentic worship of God in spirit and in truth, a deep personal relationship with God. Our site, cbcg.org, offers both visual and audio studies in a wide range of biblical subjects to help you come to a full understanding of the fundamental teachings of the Holy Bible and the original apostolic Christianity founded by Jesus Christ. This site is designed to help you progress from basic biblical teachings to more advanced detailed studies. We have in-depth verse-by-verse studies of nearly all the books of the New Testament. In addition, we have a host of messages and an analysis of Bible prophecy for the end time. All topics are networked so that you may enter at any level of study and move with ease from one topic to another. Our site is rapidly expanding, with new audio and textual selections being added week by week. We would appreciate your suggestions on specific interests and needs. Please direct any comments or questions concerning this website to our webmaster at the address below. So that will be the new homepage. And the theme, Restoring Original Christianity for Today. And we'll see how that will help improve us in doing the things that we need to do. Okay. Now, last year, on December, 5th, 2008, I gave a sermon on the 14 things to happen in prophecy before the end comes. So I'm going to put that back up online again, and we will put it on this coming CD, because we already have it digitized, so to add it to a CD, and we can put up to 10 different messages on there. It's pretty easy to do. But I want to concentrate on several different topics out of the 14 in this message. So let's look and see what Europe is facing, because right now as we are speaking, they have the Copenhagen meeting on climate change, which is a hoax, a lie, and a means of trying to bring in a world government. Well, it will only come at the time God says it will come, because it will come. And that's one of the reasons you see a lot of the things being done by the administration and the 36 czars and so forth that they have to try and lower the United States profile and power so it can fit into a world system. Now, Europe is not in such good shape itself. European companies face a $1.5 trillion funding shortfall next year, so there are going to be troubles in Europe as well. So we'll have to see what they're going to do. China, very important. That's one of the things that I brought out concerning the things to happen. China is gaining economically, and how many heard of the Dubai problem? You'd never think that an Arab country, which is backed by oil, would ask for 6 months deferment of paying any interest on their loans. Well, why did they get the loans? Well, they want to build the biggest resort in the world in Dubai. And they have the tallest building. You know how tall it is? 2,600 feet in the air. Okay, think about that. That's a half mile. That's five times taller than the Empire State Building. And they have borrowed all of this money with the backing of the United Arab Emirates and their oil production. Well, they had a shortfall, and that surprised everyone. So the whole world economic system is going to be in danger. But one thing that you have to listen to the news carefully. One thing that wasn't reported on the, what do they call that, lamestream media, instead of mainstream, lamestream, was that the finance minister from China went to Dubai the week before the announcement. Now, why was he there? Obviously, to help get rid of some U.S. dollars that they're holding in reserve, and to buy assets. So China is moving in many places in the world, in Africa, in the Middle East, and they are buying. Okay? So there are going to be some corrections to happen economically in Europe and in the world. So we need to watch China as well. We'll see that as we go along. Okay. Rabbinic prophecy suggests Third Temple will begin in 2010. It won't happen until God says it's ready. World from Berlin. Now guess what they are doing in Germany? And a lot of them are for it. That is, forcing all businesses to close on Sunday as a day of rest in a Catholic and Lutheran nation. And remember that Herr Ratzinger is Benedict the 16th. So they have a German pope, and the Germans are rising again. And now they're making it be felt with their Sunday closing law. Now, they haven't been able to close all of them, but that's a sign of the times to come. Now, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, because a lot of people think the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping. So we'll examine that, and we'll think about that, and we'll see what the Bible really tells us. Now, here's another problem for Europe. So you can look at it any way you would like to look at it, but let's think about it this way. How many have heard of demographics? Now, what is demographics? Demographics is the measure of the population, the things that they buy, the things that they do, how they live, and it's a measure of the population increase or decrease. Now, in order for a nation to replenish its population, they need to have 2.1 births per couple. Now, the Muslims in Europe probably have about 5 to 1, so they're really multiplying, and that's going to present some problems. And Europe has to face this now. And they're going to have to decide, what are we going to do with all these Muslims here, because they're going to take over, and we are no longer going to be Europe. So there is going to have to come a change in Europe in order for prophecy to move along and be fulfilled. So as we look at this, this tells us either it's got to happen real quickly, because the population of Europe is getting older and dying off, just like it did in ancient Greece, or they're going to have a campaign of having lots of babies. Well, in Italy, they're offering great incentives for young couples to marry and have lots of children, because they need the tax money. And you can't keep having an older population expanding while the younger population is contracting. Who's going to pay for the retirement? Who's going to pay for the welfare? Who's going to pay for the health care? Okay? And just slip over here to the United States for another thought. There are some people who think that the reason they want to put everyone 55 on Medicare is to deny them care, so the older people who control the conservative vote will die out. All right, back to Europe. The indigenous population of Europe is dying, exactly as Polybus said about ancient Greece in the third pre-Christian century, the century that was intellectually the closest to our own, the century of skeptics and Epicureans and cynics. And that's exactly what Europe is like and what we are today. All right. Let's look, let me just quickly name the 14 things to happen before the end comes. Okay. Number one, peace and prosperity, or peace and security. We haven't arrived at that point yet. Number two, beginning of the 7 years at the end, which will then be the rise of the man who is the beast power, and we'll look at that in just a minute. And there will be a 7-year period, 3.5 with prosperity, and 3.5 when the tribulation begins. Okay? That also includes the king of the north and the king of the south. And I just read to you about Europe. And what did they just elect this last week? Anybody remember in Europe? What did they just elect? The very first president of the European Union. Now, he wasn't elected by the people. He was elected by a council within the European Union government. And that's just the kind of thing you need to get a dictator. And as we have mentioned before, the king of the north is not going to rise up all of a sudden. And as we have discussed, there may be 2 or 3 who would fit that as the king of the north. And we also know there has to be a king of the south. All right, number three, world trade. Now, we're seeing this come along as never, never before. So keep your eyes on what is called the G20. How many know what the G20 is? G20 is the new international banking regulation system, which is what? To coordinate all the central banks to have the same regulations, to have the same policies, and also at the same time they realize that in order to keep world trade going, because all of these fiat currencies are going to collapse. The dollar is going to collapse, the pound is going to collapse, even the euro is going to come down. They think the euro is going to stay strong, but with as much as they owe, I don't think so. That includes Japan, that includes India, that includes Australia, that includes Brazil, that includes Russia, all of these fiat currencies. They are going to collapse. Now, that's why there is so much movement toward gold. And China has done a lot to back its reserves in gold, and so has India. But the G20 is going to usher in a world currency. So you watch that. A world currency must come. Now, let's look at the pattern that they set with the European Union. When they brought in the euro, how did they do it? 3 years before they issued the currency, all trade between the European countries was calculated in euros digitally. Then they brought out the currency 3 years later when everyone was getting used to it. Now, I think they will follow the same pattern with the world currency. There's only one hitch that comes along with that, and that is what is called, a lot of people know, maybe the Amero. But I think that it would be far preferable for them to bring in a world currency, starting with world trade first for 3 to 5 years and say, oh, well, it doesn't affect your currency in your country. You can keep that. But this is just for world trade. And when they do that, what will it give them the authority to do for the very first time? A world tax on all transactions. Going to where? The United Nations. Oh, and the United Nations, it's been proposed by Europe to move it to Gibraltar. And what did we say years ago? The United Nations must be reformed and moved. What's going to happen? All right. World trade, followed by Mark of the Beast. Fall of Israel, which we're seeing happening right now. That's not just the Jews. That's all of us. The false prophet. Temple must be built. Two witnesses. What the Church of God will be doing, martyrdom of saints, and the gospel as a witness. All right, now what I want to do is concentrate on two things. Let's come to Daniel, the 7th chapter, please. Daniel 7. Now, Daniel is a very interesting book. Because though it is a prophecy, it is in the writings and not with the prophets in the original order. And the reason for that is because Daniel was not written in the land of Israel, but it was written in Babylon. So let's find our place to the book of Daniel. Okay. Let's come to Daniel 7. And I'll give you the page number in the New Bible to make it a little easier for you. Let's come to 858. 858. Now, a key to understanding the book of Daniel is that you need the book of Revelation to give you the final understanding of it. Just like I said, it's like a lock and a key. Book of Daniel is like a lock. doesn't give a clear explanation, but it gives some things pointing to the future. Revelation is the key to unlock it. Now let's talk about the fourth beast, because this is the one that we are going to be interested in at the end time. Let's first of all come to the end of the matter so we will see how it's going to end. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 27, then we'll come back to verse 7. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, showing that it will be a worldwide system, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's when the kingdom of God is established, see. Whose kingdom, that is the kingdom of God, is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. Now that's the end of the matter. We know with the book of Revelation, that ties in with all of the prophecies at the end time. But let's see how it begins. Let's come over here to verse 7. Now remember, this was given in about 540s B.C. So that makes it over 2,500 years old. So it tells us the beginning and the end, but then we have to go to Revelation 13 to get the understanding of how it's going to come about. Now, after he saw the other beast and so forth, which symbolized the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, and the Greek Empire, then we come to verse 7. After this I looked into night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, frightening and terrifying and exceedingly strong. And this is defining the Roman Empire. And remember, at the end time, we're going to see the same thing happen again. And where is all of this world government planning and talking coming from? Europe. Did you know that all the treaties, beginning with the Coal and Iron Treaty right after World War II, as well as the European Union Treaty, as well as the Green Agenda movement that they have, as well as what's going on in Copenhagen right now, you know where all of those were planned? They were planned by the Club of Rome in Italy. And that's where the super secret powerful elite meet to plan the things that they want to do in the world. So it's going to be a resurrection of the Roman Empire, and here's a description of how it started. It devoured in broken pieces and stamped the rest with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, we'll look at the 10 horns again here in a minute, and we'll see. All right? And behold, let's see, 10 horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. Now, we don't quite understand what the nations were that are going to be plucked up. We can see a fulfillment of it if you look at the chart in at the end of the Bible, that does refer to the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, and the Vandals who were conquered by the Roman Empire. So that could very well be it. But remember, that was done not by a religious leader, but by an emperor. Now let's look at this a little bit more. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now we'll see the fulfillment of that in the end time in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And I watched until thrones were set in place. So this brings us to the end time again right here, right? Yes. And the Ancient of Days sat, whose raiment was white as snow, and hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like flames of fire, and its wheels like burning fire, and streams of fire issued and came forth out from before him, and thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court sat, and the books were opened. Isn't that interesting? Sounds an awful lot like Revelation 5, the throne of God, Christ before the throne, and the Father giving the scroll with the seven seals to Christ for him to open. Then, verse 11, I was looking because of the voice of the boastful words which the horn spoke, and I watched until the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, what does Revelation 19 tell us about the beast and the false prophet? You see, the beast equals a kingdom, and the prophet equals the religious system. What happens in Revelation 19 to the beast and the false prophet? They're cast in a lake of fire, right? So Daniel wanted to know what these things are. Okay? Verse 13. I saw visions in the night, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. What did Jesus say to the high priest? He said, henceforth you shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, right? And the high priest knew that, didn't he? And so therefore they accused him of blasphemy. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now this is when Jesus is going to receive the kingdom. Verse 14, and the dominion and glory was given to him, and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not be taken away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's talking of the end time again. But you know, just like Daniel, he wanted to know, when would these things be? All right, now let's come down here. Let's come down here a little further. Verse 21. No, let's go to verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Again, notice how we go from the beginning of the prophecy to the end of the prophecy. And what did Jesus say about himself? I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. So he's the one who starts it, he's the one who ends it. And also remember this, what was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4? That the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men in what? Gives it to whomsoever he will, and that he places over them the basest of men. Well, we can certainly see that fulfilled today. All you have to do is look at Copenhagen and all those who are there, and that's what you're looking at. Look at all the nations, all the troubles, all the difficulties that people have. And what does it come down to? False religion. Of course, there's no such thing as true religion, though it says true religion in James. That means how you behave toward people doesn't mean worshiping of God. And government by men who reject God. You can boil it down to all the nations of the world and those two simple things if you analyze everything that's going on. Okay, we'll go a little bit more here and then we'll take a break. No, let's go ahead and take a break right now.